Welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast, a special podcast today, the coronavirus episode number 3. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible app. You can download the InstaBible app on the iOS App Store. As we continue our series, we had like the first episode we had was a medical student from the University of Miami, Sunil Joshi. This past Saturday, we had Mr. Nam Kim in South Korea. And today's guest, we got a person from New York City. Daniel Hutchins from Father's Heart Ministries. And we got Daniel on the line. Welcome to the coronavirus special.
Hey, what's up, San Diego? How are you?
Good. As many people might know, me and Dan went to school together about over 10 years ago, and now Daniel's up in New York City. Daniel, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, born and raised in New York. Just been my parents. My mom is the executive director of an organization called the Father's Heart Ministries, and so I've been there for 33 years since I was born, just in and out, in the East Village of Manhattan, and I've been working there ever since. Volunteering and working there ever since I got back. I graduated from college back in 2010 from Regent University, and I live in Astoria, Queens now, right across the river, the East River from Manhattan. Just working, doing, some side stuff, some film stuff. I went to school for film at Regent. And so I do some producing and some video work. And also I'm a musician play for just a bunch of different groups in the city and different ministries, and just keep myself busy. Obviously right now that's on a standstill, but it's still been good. God has still been good through this storm, and I'd love to talk about it more.
Yeah, of course, New York has become the epicenter of the coronavirus or COVID-19. It was Italy, now it's New York City. What has the Father Heart been doing for these past couple of weeks to provide during this whole crisis?
Yeah, so basically right now, everything is, we're all on a quarantine lockdown, except for essential workers. And I think that just goes around for most of the nation now. But New York, we're on our third week now. And so one of the things of being in the essential worker category is one of the things that we do at the Father's Heart is we have a food pantry where every week we serve about 700 people, and so we're essential to the East Village, Lower East Side of Manhattan, because there are many homeless to working poor to people on disability that just don't have access to food. And obviously when this began, it just made things worse. And so we've shut down. Obviously, we have also a soup kitchen, but we had to shut that down because of the, the limitation of people in a facility. But we've kept our food pantry open. And so we're seeing this over this last month, we've seen hundreds of brand new people, from a lot more homeless to people that just can't get food or just have lost their jobs, and from waiters to bartenders to just people that are are used to getting a paycheck every week and basically living from paycheck to paycheck, and now they don't have that source of income, and so now they're resorting to our food pantry to get food. So we're taking the part is we're taking the safety precautions just to make sure that everybody's safe. Obviously, the 6-foot distancing, wearing masks, gloves, having hand sanitizer available to everybody that walks in, from our volunteers to our guests, and just doing those safety precaution measures just to make sure that everybody's you know, healthy and safe. And we're also, obviously, we usually, every week we have about 150 volunteers on a Saturday for our Soup Kitchen food pantry. And we've chopped that down to about 20 to 25, just so that, you know, because obviously we don't need that many volunteers, but also we just want to keep our space, you know, as, you know, spaced out as possible. So, yeah, just doing measures like that, just to help our city, help our community, just keep it going, just do our part. Also, like, you know, obviously the whole world is going to Zoom right now. And so we've been doing, you know, we've been reaching out to we have also a men's program that guys that are coming out of addiction from drugs and alcohol. And we have a 2-day program that, you know, the guys learn job skills and things like that. And then we have a meeting for 2 hours that kind of goes over the NA and AA 12 steps. And we just share, encourage the guys and just really speak life into them. So we've actually moved that to Zoom, and it's actually been great just to make sure that, you know, our people are good. Like, you know, I mean, you know, just from not going back into addiction. We just want to make sure that we're encouraging everybody. So Zoom has just been an incredible lifesaver, just for just to be able to just still speak life into our people and just be able to just keep them, you know, accountable in these times in isolation and where addiction that could just creep up again when you run into fear and stuff like that. So yeah, that's kind of like what we've been doing the last couple of weeks.
That's a reality check that you just mentioned about, you know, people that you usually don't get, you know, like waiters or people that work in bars that,
yeah,
you know, that don't, of course, those restaurants and bars are not open at the moment. And they come in, you know, it's quite an eye opener, you know, 'cause I don't know. I mean, here in Florida, you know, we recently had some lockdowns here and there, but you know, I have not heard, but now you're talking about it, you know, which New York City is full of that right now. How much of the city is shut down when you walk around? Is it pretty quiet, or like, what is the, like the whole, environment like?
Yeah. I mean, what I'm noticing is like, I mean, I'm doing my part. I think everybody's just trying to do their part and, you know, I only go down on Wednesdays and Saturdays because that's when I'm essentially needed, and that's when our staff is needed. You know, Wednesdays we take in the delivery for the food, and so we have a couple of people that come out for that. And then Saturdays we have a food pantry. But you know, other than that, I stay in. I mean, we have to as much as possible. And I think a lot in New York, because I feel like in New York, you know, we have people that are just not coming out at all, like where they order their food, you know, from delivery and they just, you know, they are not going out whatsoever. You know, and then you have other people that are, you know, doing a walk a day, a social distance walk a day. And, they go out, they buy groceries once a week. And, yeah, I mean, the city's, it's crazy, man. I mean, it's just from, you know, looking at pictures and videos, it's so quiet. I mean, everything is shut down, except for, you know, the essential businesses like food and laundry mats. And you know what, honestly, 70% are closed too. You know, in my area, I live in Astoria, Queens. You know, the Dunkin' Donuts shut down, you know, because they're just not making the profit that they're used to making with the amount of people on the street. In Manhattan, a lot of the 7-Elevens are closing because they're just not getting the foot traffic. So it's just like things like that, where like a lot of these businesses now are, they're shutting down. They shut down in the last week because of one, they want to keep their employees safe. Two, they want to, you know, just make sure that they're not making, it's not worth it really for them to come in, you know, for paying their employees, to just having everything going on. Like if they're preparing food, it's just, they're not making money. So they're just like, you know what, we'll just shut down. So that's just like what we're seeing. It's quiet. It's very quiet. I mean, it's just, even, you know, when I'm in the city 2 days a week in Manhattan, it's just, it's mind boggling just to see, while there's just nobody around, really. Just people walking their dogs once in a while, and you know, so yeah, it's a different time, I'll tell you.
What about like the subway trains? I've been hearing like they're still running and they're kind of packed. What have you heard about that?
Yeah, so in the beginning to mid March, the trains, like trains were, you know, there were just, it was like a regular schedule. So you would have pretty much empty trains because, you know, people weren't going on the subways, but you still had the frequency of subway cars coming through, like every 5 minutes, you know, a train would come. Now that, you know, people are, we're on a mandatory lockdown, I think in the last week or two, there's been less trains. You still have essential workers that need to go to work. So yeah, I mean, all of right now, I mean, during rush hour, they've been pretty packed, and you know, that's just caused a ton of, you know, tension with people, just from, you know, people freaking out to, you know, the social distancing. And, but then also the MTA wants to save, you know, money because they're not making, you know, people aren't buying the Metro cards, you know, and they're, you know, they don't want to run trains out if there's, you know, not enough people. So it's just been, you know, during those rush hour periods. Yeah. And the thing is too, you know, one of the other things, that I could just mention really quick if I can, you know, it's the homeless population is it's really getting to them because they don't have, you know, a place to go. You know, all of the places that they frequent during, you know, are shut down. And so they resort to just being on the subways, and they're exposed to the coronavirus. And so that's just something that is just been, you know, heartbreaking for a lot of us in the city that, you know, people are just scared. They're not able to go anywhere, really. And so it's just been tough. It's been tough in that regard. And they're on the subways, and no one really knows if they're sick or not because they haven't gotten tested, or they, you know, they haven't taken the proper precautions, and rightly so. I mean, they can't, you know, and so that's just been a big issue that I hope we could tackle even more in these next few weeks as things change.
And how extra busy has Father's Heart been these past couple of weeks?
You know what? Yeah, I mean, like we, you know, obviously we've cut, you know, our programs are shut down. You know, we have a kids program, you know, all of these different things that we have during the week are shut down because we can't have the amount of people in the building because of the social distancing and things like that. But in regards to just the number of calls and people needing food, yeah, I mean, we've it's just mind-boggling to see how many new people and you know, just like I said earlier, just people that would never, you would just like a month ago, you would never see them on our line. And now it's just like, I need food. And cause I don't have money. And I, you know, it's crazy. It's just crazy to see this, but it's, I'll tell you this, man, it's really great in one sense. Like I feel like what the, and I know not I feel, but I know that like what the enemy meant for evil, God is going to turn for good. And it's just, you know, the door is open for just salvation in the city. And we're beginning to see that now where people are turning to Christ, and they're seeing Father's Heart in the middle of the East Village as a beacon of hope for people just to come. And, you know, because it's like people are scared and they have nowhere to turn to. They don't know what to do. And so the only thing that, you know, they see is like some of them is, you know, they remember the seeds being planted about God and you know, just the hope that's found in the cross. And so it's cool. And I, you know, one of the things that I just feel too is like, I feel this week is going to be one of the most, I mean, it's going to be just such an impactful week in the sense of just history. I think we're going to look back, you know, 50 years from now and just be like, man, this Passover Easter week was literally changed the world to what we know today. And I just see like, you know, just salvations galore just from online services to, you know, just the people that, you know, that we've been ministering to that you know, we've planted the seeds in their lives all these years. The ones that haven't come to Christ yet, they remember, you know, just the seeds of love, the seeds of the Father's heart just being, you know, just given to them from through our volunteers, through just people that come and serve them. So yeah, we're just believing for just a radical supernatural just encounter with Jesus this week for people that they just see him in such a way that they've never seen before, and they come to him and they turn to him. So yeah, man, it's you know, like I said, like what, you know, the enemy meant for evil, God is really turning for good here in New York. And and yeah, just keep, you know, like I'm just, please keep us in prayer, especially here. You know, we've had, you know, one of my friends just called me yesterday, guy I work with, I used to work with, and he's, you know, one of my best friends. His stepfather passed away yesterday because of COVID-19, and his mother has it, and his brother has it. And, you know, it's just like they can't even bury his stepfather because of just the, you know, the distancing, and, you know, it's only just immediate family, and it's his mother's sick. So it's just stuff like that. Like, you know, just like, and I'm, you know, I have a lot of people that have had the virus, that have the virus, you know, and it's not a good thing. It's not, you know, I think a lot of people they're saying, oh, it's just like the flu. And some people, you know, the symptoms don't, you know, affect them as others. But it's also just, you know, it's serious. And but God is bigger, but also just use wisdom. Using wisdom is huge. And that's what we're all trying to do in New York for the most part.
Yeah. You know, like when you're talking about it, I'm just feeling like the whole impact of like the whole situation of New York. You know, it is the epicenter of this virus. Like you were saying, this week, I mean, it's, I hate to say it, but you know, they're going to say that this week might be that Pearl Harbor moment. Hopefully not. You know, there's always a chance that it might not be as bad as people think it is. How difficult is to get tested over there? Like, what have you heard?
Well, I mean, so like a couple of weeks ago, you know, they've had like, they opened up like testing centers, and you know, certain people were able to get tested in different times. The one thing, you know, that Governor Cuomo and our mayor, and I mean also President Trump, from a federal level, said is that, you know, if you have the symptoms like a fever, you know, a cough, you know, those types of symptoms where, you know, you feel like it's COVID-19, just stay at home. And just quarantine yourself unless you have, you know, crazy problems breathing, like where you need, you know, oxygen, then that's where you could, you know, go to the hospital. That's where you should go to the hospital. But if it's like, you know, if you have like 101, 102 degree fever and, you know, a cough and aches, you know, they're basically telling people to stay home. So, you know, it's interesting. I have, you know, a few friends that I know that have had those symptoms. They've been, you know, out of commission for like a week to 9 days. And, you know, over the last, you know, on the eighth, ninth day, they were able to start walking around and not being in bed all day. And they didn't get tested just because they follow those guidelines. But so I think there's a lot of people, I mean, way more people that have gotten the virus, and they just have followed what Governor Cuomo, you know, just keeps on reiterating on, you know, on his press conferences and, you know, just from his social media accounts. So, yeah, I mean, there are testing centers all in each borough in New York City. You know, the Jacob Javits Center is also a hospital now for COVID-19 patients, and Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham, they have a tent hospital in Central Park that they put up on last Monday. So it's like, you know, we have like a lot more, like we're kind of really ready for, we've gotten a lot more ready for just the pandemic that's, you know, here. But you know, it's like, those are really for those serious cases. And so, yeah, like I think now what people, you know, I just remembered like from 3 weeks ago, you know, just a lot of people that were freaking out when we had the shutdown, they started feeling like they had symptoms. And I think a lot of it was a lot of anxiety. And so they were going out and getting tested. And really, you just shouldn't get tested. Like, you shouldn't get tested unless, like I said, unless you, it's really like crazy, like where it's like, okay, I need to go to the hospital. So I think now you're just seeing a lot less. I think you're just seeing a lot of people just staying home, staying quarantined in their own home. And and just following what our governor is saying.
When you're in the streets, obviously, I know that you don't go out as much. Are you seeing a lot of people wearing face masks?
Yeah. The last couple of days, just from the press conferences and them encouraging everybody to wear a face mask. Yeah, I mean, I just started to wear a face mask outside now, like everywhere I go when I go outside. And I've been seeing probably 90% of the people in my neighborhood now are wearing them with gloves. And they're, you know, so it's like the last couple of days, there's just been like way more of just precautions that were being taken.
And also, Danny is very involved with the church world. How much is it, like, almost every church you know of are doing their services online, right?
Yeah, everybody. Everybody is. I mean, there's no. I mean, we're not. We can't. I mean, we would get. You know, there would be massive fines, and, you know, Mayor de Blasio was very. I mean, he was very strict on that, just because of what. You know, just the social distancing. And so, yeah, I mean, every church is really just honoring the government in this and just using wisdom, which I agree with. And I'm happy, you know, just to, you know, like I said, I keep on saying, you know, it's like what the enemy meant for evil, you know, God is just using for good. Because you know what? I think every church in the city right now, even from the smallest churches that are doing their Facebook Lives and, their Zooms, like your people. I mean, there's more people going on prayer, you know, virtual prayer meetings to, you know, to Sunday services to, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's been cool, man. It's been cool to see like how people are really, you know, stepping up and just, hearing the gospel every day, you know?
Yeah, that's something that I've noticed, and I've been hearing some metrics that the like the church attendance online is higher than it is physically. So it's quite interesting to see those numbers, and also salvations are up, and people's interest in God is just so important. I mean, this is great because, you know, people before just wasn't interested, now they're interested in getting close with God. Danny, what is the best way for people to donate to Father's Heart? How can they help to contribute? People that are outside of New York or also in New York.
Yeah. Fathersheartnyc.org, is our website, and, fathersheartnyc on Instagram, Father's Heart, Facebook, I think it is Father's Heart NYC Facebook. Fathersheartnyc.org/donate. Or if you're in the New York area, if, when we get back and running, if you want to volunteer, there's a volunteer thing on that. Or if you want to donate masks, you know, if you have access to masks, I know that's something that we need. You could, you know, contact us on there. But yeah, I mean, that's, our website is up and running, and you could just see what we're doing on Instagram and Facebook as well. Just with what we're doing every week, we update with pictures and, just different things like that. So yeah, man, it's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. If you could donate masks, I know that's like the one item that I hear a lot is getting masks. And of course, very protective. Go ahead.
It's huge. No, it's huge. Yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, and people are really quick. We just had a church, church in Kansas, contact us, and they are, it's about 1,000 people that go there. Most of the women sew. So they're making us face masks and they're sending them up to us, which is amazing. So, yeah, it's just cool how the whole country is coming together in different ways, the church country, you know, just everybody coming together and really helping out where the epicenter is. So, yeah.
You lived, I know that you were around during like the whole September 11th. How much of that is kind of similar to right now?
I mean, it's different. Like, I mean, it's definitely different. I mean, I was a teenager when that happened, and it was funny. I was talking to I was talking to a pastor on Saturday that was volunteering with us. And, you know, he was, one of the things that he said was really interesting was that it's like tiers, like, you know, September 11th affected everybody on different tiers. Like, obviously people that were related to somebody that passed away, or, you know, yeah, just different things. And so, like, you know, being from New York, it affected you because, you know, you knew somebody that knew somebody, and you see, you know, the Twin Towers are gone from your skyline, you know, thousands of people died on your, in your city on one morning, and it, you know, put your city into a, you know, chaos. And then obviously the world gets affected, but this is different. I mean, this is just, I mean, this is really, this has affected everybody. I mean, on, you know, various different levels, from, you know, obviously like getting sick, people dying, you know, friends of yours, parents dying just from, you know, just from this. And then you have people that lose their jobs, or people that, you know, a month ago, you know, their businesses, their restaurant is rocking, you know, with, you know, crazy business. They have all this and they're living large. And then literally in a month, it's like, you have to lay off all your staff, and you don't know how you're going to, you know, you got to pay, you know, how are you going to pay rent? And so, you know, just the aspect of the anxiety and the depression, and, you know, with different people, the trauma, the PTSD that, you know, kids are facing, to, you know, dad's not working anymore, mom is not working, how are we going to pay our rent? To, you know, how are we going to, you know, last month I got, you know, I'm going out to eat every night, to how am I going to put food on my table now? How am I going to eat for myself? You know, so it's just like those, this is really, yeah, like in New York, it's just really, you know, and then just like, you know, like the anxiety of just like, you know, even like when things start up again, I mean, are people, you know, if you're a waiter or a bartender, are people going to go and frequent your restaurant? Like, you know, like in droves, I think it's going to take a while for people to get back into the groove of everything. So, yeah, you know, it's just stuff like that, that I think it's affected everybody in our country in one way or the other. And it's affected people, like millions of people, obviously, in a very, you know, deep way, especially if you lost your job. I mean, you know, and you don't know what the future is. And that's why, you know, turning to Christ is awesome, because you have, there's hope in him. So, yeah.
It's quite impressive. Of course, you could go to othersheartnyc.org. You can see the link in the description below. And if you have any HADMAX, go to the website and go to the contact. Danny, what is the best way for people to reach you personally online?
Yeah, I mean, just Facebook, Daniel Hutchins, I don't even know what my Instagram is. Daniel underscore Hutchins 123.
I think it's that one. Yeah. I think, let me double check. I know what you mean. Yes. It's like the one you gave.
Yeah.
Daniel underscore Hutchins 123. So,
that's it.
And of course, Father's Heart, NYC.org for any donations. If you know, don't have Max, you know, give some money, or if you anything that will help out this, because New York City is going through it right now, going through the eye of the storm, and of course it's still going to be a little some time afterwards. Have you seen D-Rock in New York City lately?
No, you know, he actually moved. He used to live, I told you, he lived around the block from me, and now he moved into Manhattan. It was funny. I just saw a post though that he posted today. He said, I'm looking at my life right now, and I'm saying, I want to downgrade a little bit. You know, 'cause Gary Vaynerchuk posted about a guy, that was basically saying that, that Gary was just basically saying, you know, there was a guy that literally moved into his in-law's house to pay off loans, and D-Rock was, you know, it's one of the things that Gary Vaynerchuk says, you know, just do what you have to do in order to get out of debt, and, you know, humble yourself basically. And Gary, and D-Rock was saying too, it's like, you know, I'm going to go back to having roommates, just because it's like, or downsize my space, because You know, you just look at it and you just say, man, I can survive. I could, you know, what could I do with that extra money? You know, or what could I do? You know, and I think he just moved out of my neighborhood down to Manhattan, and he's paying more money. And, you know, and I think he's just looking at it now, like, what did I do? So it was funny. You just mentioned that because he just talked about that today, about just really downgrading so that you could prioritize where you could put your money and your resources, you know, in a different way that could help you grow more in the future. So,
yeah, that makes sense. If people don't know who D-Rock is, he's the camera guy for Gary Vaynerchuk. He's a social media entrepreneur and a consultant, but he's a consultant in some ways. And he's actually streaming every day a tea time with Gary V, a 2-hour tea time. I think it's really, really good content. Actually, it's probably one of the best I've heard in a while, and gives advice to what start businesses. And just like Danny says, you know, a lot of people are reflecting on what they can do better in the future. I think, you know, during these times, you need these type of times to get back into your life and become stronger, either starting a startup, a company, or just reorganizing your life, maybe downgrading, having roommates, things like that. So there's a lot of great opportunity, you know, during these times, but we'll definitely hope for the best, you know, and hopefully this week will not be as bad as people are saying. Well, Daniel Hutchins, any closing words?
Yeah, thank you for having me on, bro. I really appreciate it, man. I really appreciate you and all that you do. And, yeah, man, thank you. Keep us in prayer, though. Keep New York especially in prayer.
Exactly.
This week.
We love New York. Anyways, have a great day and a great week.
Be good, bro. I'll talk to you soon.